So here we are on the sixth Sunday of Easter, and the readings today, the kind of the common thread between them is the Holy Spirit. He appears in each of the readings, and you have to understand that in the mind of the church, the sixth Sunday of Easter, we are still even now 6 weeks later celebrating the Easter joy. We're celebrating the resurrection of Christ, but there's a subtle difference, a subtle shift that happens more explicitly this week than even in last week. And that is we're going from looking behind us to the resurrection to looking forward to the ascension, which would typically fall on Thursday, but we move it to Sunday, this coming Sunday. And then the week after that is Pentecost. So in the mind of the church, what we're doing now in the next couple of weeks, we're still celebrating the Easter joy, but with an eye towards Pentecost, with an eye towards the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so the readings and the preparation that we do this weekend is just that, preparation for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, today, I think most Christians have a very weak understanding of the Holy Spirit, of the role of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. I think for many of us, he's reduced to this nice, like, vague, impersonable force, kind of like gravity that does stuff for God, kind of, maybe. He might help us out. You know, maybe he's a dove that's very, very cute and shows up at Pentecost. Good for him. And we only hear about the Holy Spirit maybe once a year at Pentecost, which is a true tragedy because the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. When Jesus says God is love, when John tells us that in his gospel, he means God is love. Not like love or God is loving or God is lovable, but God is love. In his very nature, that is what he is. And nowhere is that more truly expressed than in the Trinity, who is the bond of love that exists eternally between the Father and the Son. But what's interesting is the word that Jesus gives us today when this is the context of the gospel this evening is the Last Supper. It's before he goes to his passion, death, and resurrection, the immediate preparation for the apostles before he's crucified. He's telling them, I will send you another advocate. I will send another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept it because it neither sees nor knows him. So if Jesus is saying the world can't accept it because it doesn't see or know him, but you as Christians, as my followers, you will see and know him. You will recognize him. So my question to you then is, do you see him? Do you know him? Do you recognize him? If I was to ask you, where has the Holy Spirit been at work in your life? Could you maybe if you're lucky, if you really thought about it, you could point to some great moment of your life, some moment of conversion, some moment like a near-death experience where you experience God's closeness. But the fact is, the Holy Spirit is alive and well and working on you every single day. But we don't recognize him. And why not? It's interesting, the first reading today that we have from the Acts of the Apostles. So Philip started a church in Samaria, right? So the Samaritans are the ones who the Jews didn't really get along with. They used to be kind of relatives way back in the day, and then they split off, and now there is bad blood and so on. So Philip goes and starts a church in Samaria, and he's baptized them. They're believers, they're Christians. And so the church sends Peter and John, and they go, and they come to this church community, this Christian community, who's been baptized, and they believe, but it says they went and to pray over them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen upon any of them. We have a whole community of Christians who have been baptized, who are believers, who are, for all we know, practicing their faith to the fullest extent that they can, and they have not yet received the Holy Spirit. Now, what we know, what we see, so whether they do, they went, they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. We would call that confirmation, right? But there is something that the apostles were able to go travel to this town, and they were able to see the people who were there, who were living the Christian faith, but without the Holy Spirit. And there was something different. They noticed it. They recognized it, just like Jesus promised before he was crucified. The world does not recognize it, but you will recognize him. What is the Holy Spirit? What is his role? How does he affect us? How does he move us? Well, he's a person. Just like God the Father and Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit is a person that wants to know us, that wants to have a relationship with us, that we can pray to, we can listen to him. As a matter of fact, he's the one who speaks most clearly to us. But like St. Thomas Aquinas said, he used the analogy of the sunlight. So that you go out into the sunlight and you can see, but if you close your eyes, the sun can still be shining, but you'll be as blind as a blind man. You can be surrounded by the grace, the promptings, the actions of the Holy Spirit, but if your spiritual eyes are closed, you will see nothing. You will be blind. And I believe that's what happens. So many of us are just completely blinded to the work of the Holy Spirit. But what does that look like? And I'm sure if you think about it, if you really were to consider it, you could articulate those moments where you've experienced it. And it's not the grand moments where the clouds part and the sun shines down and the choirs of angels sing and God speaks to you in a deep thundering voice, you know, like he did at the baptism. The Holy Spirit moves much, much, much more subtly. He whispers. When you feel that prompting that's pulling you, drawing you towards prayer, and it's unexplainable, that's the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I love to use the analogy for kids. Like, how did you know that God was calling you to be a priest? Well, I use the analogy of fishing. I love fishing. When you're sitting there and you have a bobber on the line and you feel a tug, like you can't see the fish, you can't smell it or hear it, but you feel that slight tug and you know there's something there. That's what it's like when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. It's very often just a very, very, very small prompting. But to be able to start recognizing that and to open our eyes to that, because the brightness of God, the splendor of God, it, especially for a person who's been sleeping in a dark room, it will blind you. So we keep our eyes closed because it's easier to have our eyes closed than to actually be flooded with God's grace. But when we begin to peek out just a little bit, to be open to that prompting, that's when God begins to speak to us. Brothers and sisters, we're heading to this time of Pentecost, this time of preparation. And so I ask you to invite the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you. In whatever words you want to articulate it, whatever prayer you do or don't have, whatever prayer life you're trying to foster, ask the Holy Spirit specifically, come Holy Spirit, open my heart and my mind. Allow me to be attentive to your promptings. Allow me to see, to feel, to hear what you are trying to speak to me. Open, just because all God needs, all he really needs is just the desire. I don't have a desire for your love the way I should. I don't have a desire to pray the way I should, but I at least have the desire to have the desire. I have that small inkling. And that's all the room he needs to work on us, is the desire to have the desire. So I leave you with that. To ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. To begin asking. And in the announcements, I'll make a little announcement about a novena to the Holy Spirit that we'll be starting up in just a couple of days. But which is a whole series of just asking for this grace of the Holy Spirit to be able to guide us, that we listen, and that we would be drawn deeper to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.